بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, yesterday we spoke about three of the lessons from Surah Al-Hujurat. This is in continuation with that, which is a very important point. I think I want to speak a little bit about this, and then inshallah we will look at the other lessons from Surah Al-Hujurat tomorrow and day after. And this has to do with the issue of, it so happens that Jeff Bezos' conduct comes in handy, but it's something that applies. I think it's what we are seeing is something which is has become endemic. And that is that we only talk and we only seem to refer to people in the context of how much money they make. Now, if you think about it, the world heroes as they are mentioned, we talk about Bill Gates, we talk about Warren Buffett, we talk about now Jeff Bezos, we talk about different people, and the first thing, word out of our mouth is, he is worth so much. And when we say worth or net worth, we mean only one thing, which is how much money does that person have. So when we talk about Warren Buffett, we talk about Bill Gates, for example, you say they're worth so many billion. I think it's gross disservice to the men, because here are two of the two people who are, in terms of their charity, in terms of the work that they do and so on, are among the leaders of the world. But the reference to that is made only when we are talking about charity as a special thing. But usually it's only in terms of money. Now take Jeff Bezos also. People talked about how much he was worth, and we said the man is worth whatever it was, 138 million, billion or something. And then he has this divorce, and as I said yesterday, from what we are hearing and reading in the newspapers, it seems that the man had an affair with his friend's wife or ex-wife, as a result of which he got divorced. And the comment there again is the same, which is to say, now Jeff Bezos' net worth has come down 50%. Or will come down 50%, and his wife is going to become the wealthiest woman in the world because she will end up with 69 billion. Now, all that they can talk about in all this mess is about the money involved, not moral issues, not integrity, not responsibility, not fidelity, nothing, only money. Now, this is the miserable world that we run behind, often at the cost of our akhirah. I remember and recall, and a friend of mine, Xavier Arpotaraj from Dubai, he mentioned this, I thought, very nicely. And he said that when we were young, our parents used two words, virtue and vice, or virtue and sin. Anything they did was determined by whether it was virtuous or sinful. If it was sinful, we don't do it. If it was virtuous, we do it. Now, then Xavier says, in my time, which means our generation, we like to think of ourselves as being ethical, not so much religious, but ethical. Now, what is ethical? Ethical is good or bad. So, virtuous and sinful have been replaced by two words, good and bad. Do it if it's good, and don't do it if it's bad. Now, here is the problem. And the problem is that the difference is that you decide what is good and what is bad, as opposed to what was decided as virtue or sin by certain tenets or codes of conduct. In the case of Islam, was virtue and vice was defined by the creator of all of us, of Allah, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. In the modern world, the next, which is our current life as we see it, virtue and vice or virtue and sin have also gone, and so have good and bad. Now it's smart or dumb. So do it if it's a smart thing to do, and don't do it if it's a dumb thing. Now that smart thing may be sinful, it doesn't matter. The dumb thing or a virtuous thing might look like a dumb thing, and therefore you don't do that. So you do the smart thing, even though it's sinful, and the virtuous thing, because it looks like it is dumb, you don't do that. Now, where do we go from here? Now, if you think about that, this is what's happened to us today. And that's why even where it's a clear case of virtue and vice, a man, and of course, in this case, we don't know for sure. It's still an allegation. Allah knows best, but I'm just using this as an example to illustrate. Here is a person who has been unethical, who has been adulterous, a person who has shown a complete lack of integrity, total lack of responsibility, total lack of fidelity. But none of that matters. All that matters is, and all that people are born to talk about is, how much is he worth? And even his conduct is probably seen as he was stupid. I mean, meaning that doing bad is not bad, getting caught is bad. So his vice was that he got caught. I mean, if he hadn't got caught, if he had managed to escape, then this would have been fine. I mean, you know, and obviously, I mean, until he did get caught, he was still doing it and he was getting away with it. This is also a result of arrogance, because if you look at it, the wealthier you get, the more you feel that, you know, you can get away with things. And this is how our world is programmed in most places, in most cases. You can get away with it because we seem to look at things not in terms of what was done, but in terms of who did it. So if X does something, he or she is punished. But if Y does the same thing, then they are not punished because they are wealthy, they are powerful, they are, you know, our country is full of this. Most of the world is full of this, where people are only punished if they are poor, if they have no one behind them, if they have no pull anywhere, they have no influence. But if they have all of those things, then it doesn't matter. I mean, you can be, you can do all kinds of things and quite literally get away with murder. Now, the point is, my reason for saying all this is not just a lament. My reason for saying all this is, where do we go from here? When I say we, I mean people like you and me, ordinary garden variety human beings, and in our case Muslims. We're talking about our upbringing of our children, we're talking about you know, of how we live and what sort of values we want to promote, what sort of values we want our children to have. Where do we go from here? Because if we are going to be guided by the way the world is seems to be programmed, then be prepared for your and my children also to live by these values, which is smart and dumb. If it's smart, do it. It doesn't matter who it displeases. Doesn't matter if it's halal. Doesn't matter if it's haram. Just do it if you can get away with it. And if you get caught, then we are not going to look at what you got caught. Is it, you know, did you get caught for something which was unethical and so on? But we say, well, you are stupid to get caught. So you're dumb, and that's why you got caught. Just reflect on this. Take, for example, this whole issues of the clubs, social clubs that we belong to. You know, and I know that quite clearly. These clubs have members who are proven to be crooks, who are proven to be people who are hugely unethical, who've been involved in all kinds of embezzlement and so on. Yet we have no compunctions. We don't consider it to be a negative thing to belong to such clubs. Now, the long and short of all of this is very simple, and that is, where do we go from here? Unless we are going to take this stand and say that we are going to have sessions, and I don't mean like a classroom session, but I'm saying in our homes, monitor very closely the kind of stories we tell our children, the legends we talk about, modern day people that we directly or indirectly, consciously or unconsciously, look up to, people who we think are, you know, great people, and ask yourself, is it really worth looking up to such people? And if you don't look up to such people, then what are we And if you do look up to such people, meaning people who are unethical and so on, but just because they have money, what is the message that we are sending to our children? The difference which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made was this issue of, I always call this the redefinition of the term HNI, which is high net worth individual, from Abu Lahab to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam redefined this. And from saying net worth, high net worth is not high in terms of money, but high in terms of character, in terms of kirdar, akhlaq, in terms of the ethics and morals and values, the connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. This is the definition of high net worth, not how much money you have, irrespective of how you made that money. So I think it's very important to seriously think about this. Today, even the good people of this of our world are known only by the amount of money we make. So the dunya defines the individual, which is so sad. Whereas the akhirah should have defined, the person's kirdar and akhlaq should have defined, a person's character should have defined. Instead of that, we have reduced ourselves and demeaned ourselves by defining ourselves only in terms of the money we make. And that's why people who have money seem to have no sense of shame, no sense of fear in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, absolutely openly and blatantly, with total disregard for anyone and anything. And I think this is very, very serious. We need to fear the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to fear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we continue on this line. So I strongly recommend to you, sit with your family, sit with your children, sit with your friends and talk about this and say, what are the values that we are upholding in our hearts? What do we really look up to? Who are our role models? Why are these people our role models? And believe me, some of this is conscious, some of this is very unconscious. So it's not enough to say, if somebody says that my role model is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, or my role model is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, then I would say, no, you unless you can demonstrate with data in your life that you are making decisions on the same basis that Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu made, then you are a liar. You are telling lies, because you are just saying things, for the heck of it. Don't tell lies. Don't lie to yourself. Seriously, if you want anything good for your life, then do not tell lies to yourself. Face the fact that your role models and my role models, and in my case, I seriously, these are not my role models. So I'm going to exclude myself from this. But I'm saying the general role models of the world are people who are known for anything other than their character, for anything other than their than the virtue that they stand for. Take footballers, for example, another big role models in the world. See the lives that they lead, what kind of social life they have, what kind of moral life they have, what sort of morals they stand up for, and yet none of that makes any difference. Even though all of that is a lot of sound bites, it's a lot of publicity that is done in those terms of who is having an affair with whom and who did what and so on and so forth, but we just bypass that. We choose to ignore that, and then we say no, we are only looking at this. My brothers and sisters, I seriously remind you, a human being is not comprised of little bits and pieces. We are people, and if we are corrupted, if our morals and ethics and values are corrupted, then we are corrupt, as simple as that. I don't care who says what, and I don't care, once that corruption is there, I don't care what else is there, I would rather not look at such a person as a role model. So seriously, sit down, have these conversations. I think it's very important. Otherwise, we are going to completely lose ourselves and lose a generation and face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and face His anger. I ask Allah to save us from that. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.